Hello, everybody, and welcome to Plat Chat episode 26. That's right, I've gone for the normal numbers this time instead of the age-old quirky little Matt Morello style, which is where you just say a random number because it's a funny little joke, even though it's not that funny. We all give him a pity laugh, though, at the end
Josh
of the day.
Josh just laughed at the
welcome to Plat Chat. Yeah. As you can see, we're in quarantine mode. I am in a mansion by myself, but I'm joined by...
A mansion is putting it... I mean, you guys barely have internet half the time.
It's a mansion, though. It's a mansion. We've got dead bodies under the floorboards. We've got everything else.
Probably.
Everything that you need.
Well, everything you need.
Everything
dead
you need.
Dead bodies under the floors. Yeah, but that's all you need.
We've had honestly, a little bit of a slow week in Overwatch as of so far. Not really any matches being played other than the show matches, but we're going to get into that a little bit later on. But first, let's talk about Echo, because we've seen a pro players play it. We saw her release. We know what her kit is. We discussed her a little bit. No, last episode, she actually got released the day we released the episode.
Yeah.
So now we've actually seen her kit. What does everybody think?
She's crazy.
Yeah, she's nuts.
I mean, when we were like, you know, Sigma's got a lot of everything, right? And now Echo's like, oh, well, I can fly like Pharah. I can just... It's almost like an execute where, like, below 50% HP, she just blows people up with her beam.
Yeah.
She's got this. The one thing when we did the show match, the sticky bombs, like, people were just insta killing people with them.
And then,
like, the poor tanks. Every time, like, a tank would get near the Echo and, like, oh, I'm going to dive her or take her out, like, she would just turn into Winston and, like, primal rage him away or shatter him, like, she is going to be very difficult to deal with if she remains in her current state.
I don't know how you felt, Matt, but when I was watching that, I don't know if it was your observing or just the fact that it's Echo, but yeah. I found
probably
that hard to watch.
Yes, very hard to watch.
So it probably was a little bit harder to watch because we were trying to focus on the Echoes for both teams. So kind of really only watching from those POVs, and I think just the teams are just playing a little bit looser, like they weren't as tight.
Looser, kind of is that the word?
Yeah,
they had both of their head coaches playing on there. That's as loose as you can get.
So let's talk about that.
Trying stuff out.
I mean, there's not really much to dissect with that match itself because the pro players.
What do you mean?
Believe it or not, didn't take it that seriously. I had people in my stream saying, are you going to be watching the show matches? And I was like, bro, I didn't even know they were happening. Like, they were asking me if I was going to do a companion stream. I wasn't even aware of their existence.
Well,
but
it was a companion stream of a companion stream. Like,
at that point, yeah. But what did you think, though? Like,
just to get back to the hard to watch element of it, though, I don't think it was just the observing. I think the big visual, like, wipe whenever she comes in and out of her duplicate form is very difficult to actually keep track.
So here's also another reason why it was hard to watch, because so Mitch was doing the graphics, I was doing the observing, I was also doing some of the graphics, I was doing the cameras for us as well. But I'm not even sure the Owl observers are even aware of this, but if you watch an Echo in first person and she duplicates and dies, it doesn't stay with her in first person.
It kicks you out.
Yes,
it
kicks you out. And it was so like jarring to just try and control that on my own end cast, because the Echo would die and I'd be like, okay, well, do I go to that Echo or the other Echo? And then I'd go to the other Echo, and then she would come out of like her ultimate, and then you were just kind of like in no person's land. So it was a little bit chaotic.
Right now we're looking at what we've got up is the Valiant versus Gladiators match. And I think this is the best example of it, because the one issue I have with it is when you become the character, you look in first person here, the character model is blue, but they're on the red team. So they're swinging at other blue characters. They're swinging at red characters.
I didn't think of that.
Or they might be swinging at the character that you're seeing. It's very jarring for me when I was watching it.
Maybe it's more third person, because then...
I mean, look, I was using first person because it was the easiest thing to be able
and
to
also,
do.
And also, first person is also, like, it's a very... it's a very high skill ceiling hero. You want to be watching it from first person because miss tracking, the skill shots on mouse one, the sticky bombs are a skill shot as well. It's huge.
The only thing from that show match, which I kind of took away, which was interesting, which I think we could potentially see, is Echo with a combination of Pharah. We saw, I think it was the Valiant run it, and it kind of became incredibly punishing because you have both of these characters up in the sky, and like even one hit scan can't really deal with it. But like having the Echo on your team is like, I mean, when their current state, she's so strong, like you would kind of need to have it. That like having both of them up in the sky made it like impossible for, I think the other team ran like an Ash or a Widow, and it made it literally impossible for the Ash or the Widow to get anything done because they were getting dove on by the Winston, and then both of these characters are just flying everywhere up in the sky. Yeah, and Mercy, I mean, has an infinite amount of places to go at that point. Like,
yeah, I mean, Echo in her current state is just like broken, right? I mean, pretty much, right? I think you have to reduce the ability somehow because it's just out of control.
I just watched the clip. Fly around and shit. I just watched the clip that we're playing, and they use the ult on a Lucio and get the ult in like 3 seconds.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. They get a sound barrier in like 2 seconds. Yeah.
That is mental. Like the character is definitely overtuned. But
did you see any ults in particular that were like really strong?
Pulse bomb was absurd.
Well, here's the thing. In the actual show matches themselves, like I would say 80% of the Echo ults were utterly useless.
Yeah.
Like they were absolutely useless. And so I don't think the ult actually is overtuned at the moment. I think it's perfectly fine.
The only time that I saw like a really good use of it is I think it was the shock game, the first game, and it was on Horizon, and they were like down a player on the point, and I think they were down a support, and Rascal cloned the other team's Ana, so they had actually more healing at that point, and then got a nano boost, which I think that's kind of how she'll be used, is like those times where you're like, oh, I wish we had another tank to stall this out a little bit longer, or another support. Like you can then become one of those and sub out the damage for a little bit.
Yeah, here's what I think though. She her design as a hero is around sick. Her ult. Like, it's really sick. It's an awesome hero. But the ult is the important part. If you nerf her ult and she's just used for her neutral, you know, her sticky bombs, her attack, her mobility, you've kind of ruined the hero.
Yeah.
You haven't fulfilled its potential. So she should have a very strong ultimate, and you should nerf the neutral game.
The sticky bombs, I think, need to get nerfed. The sticky bomb
nerf is
the sticky bomb nerf is the number one thing I would like.
That's what I would, after watching the games, I think the sticky bomb nerf would be the one thing at the top of my list, is like whether it be the damage or the cooldown. The cooldown's like really quick of it. And then plus the fact that they would sticky bomb a shield, and then with the sticky bomb plus like a primary fire gets the shield about half, and then just beam it down, and then the shield's gone. Like, the tanks are just getting obliterated.
I mean, I wonder where they got that philosophy from, to kill shields. I mean, that's been brewing for a little bit, but at the same time, you kind of have to nerf it. No, but just, like, the way you can deal with, like, a Widowmaker as Echo, just, like, sticky on top of a Widow, it's like, what are you going to do as a Widow? Like, unscope and start moving away when you see the Echo? It's like...
And she moves so fast in the air compared to Pharah. Like, she is actually really good, like, horizontal control.
She does have a very large hitbox, though. She's got a fairly fair feeling hitbox, unlike, for example, Valkyrie Mercy, who zips around the place and is impossible to hit. She's got.
Told me that Mercy and Valk, they reduced her hitbox by 30%, I wouldn't be surprised.
I will say
she's always impossible to hit.
I think Echo might be the best hero they've introduced in the game.
I was actually thinking about that too. I think she's hands down one of the best heroes they've ever released.
I just love the design. Yeah, like
it's such a sick design.
Any character that has like high skill ceilings and stuff, just give it to us.
By the way, I called the entire kit last episode, and we had no knowledge of the character.
What do you mean the entire kit?
Apart from the sticky bombs. Apart from the sticky bombs.
Did you say that she could replicate another hero?
No, I didn't actually. I called two out of four.
Yeah, you said sticky bombs and could fly. You said like
no. I said hitbox. I said fly, and I said the lightning gun.
Oh, honestly, lightning gun. You could tell us whatever. None of us are going back and watching last week's episode.
And,
we already did last
week. And she can clone heroes. I said that as well.
Yeah. No, you made that up.
Yeah. No, but I think she might be one of the best heroes that's introduced. But aside from that, any final thoughts on Echo?
I mean, in terms of the nerf specifically that I would like to see, I think that she her sticky bombs should still be able to one-shot people. I think it's similar to the ult. You still want this hero to be really powerful, but I think the change that you would make is to have them come out at longer periods, you know, more like a Zen volley that you have to kind of track the hero as they're moving rather than just straight line all in one kind of splodge so that they...
Because the pros were landing super easy.
Yeah, very consistently. You can spawn camp people if you pay attention to spawn timers. And I had this discussion with my chat as well because they were saying, okay, but you can actually spawn camp people with a lot of different heroes. You can spawn camp people with Hanzo, right? You just Sonic Arrow and you spam the spawn. But you can only see the spawns as Hanzo on like one map. Echo, you can fly up in the air and see the spawns on almost
you and your Twitch chat just have an infinitely long looped conversations just about
basically. I think it's a superb hero, but slightly overtuned, and I think as soon as you bring down that sticky bomb, she'll actually be in a pretty perfect place.
What did you guys think about the tracer changes they made on the PTR? Because they made it so her blink is way more forgiving going up any sort of vertical jumps.
It feels better.
Did you watch the video that Dante did on Twitter?
Yeah.
Dude, it's bonkers.
It is nuts. He was doing a triple blinks and just straight up climbing up walls.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
But that kind of mobility is crazy.
Is Tracer? I don't care. I want to see Tracer. Yeah,
any way they can make Tracer and Genji good enough to play, I don't give a shit what they do. Give Genji an AK for all I care.
Infinite wall climb, okay?
Yeah, you know, give him infinite wall climb.
When you climb with Genji, he stops after like a second or two.
Is this
like
anything to get rid of Mei?
Is this the first Tracer buff in a while?
No, they just buffed her recently.
What did they do to Tracer, buffer?
They increased her range so that she could play outside of flashbang range. That's right, full damage.
Yeah, her damage fall off was a little bit better. It does feel like they don't touch Tracer often, though. I feel like it felt like for the longest time they wanted Tracer to be the benchmark hero that they play at.
She was like the control of the experiment.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, like a litmus test, almost, like where you've got your standard. But these days, fucking, I think they've just thrown that pamphlet out the window. They're just going, whatever, you know. Echo gets released, maybe that's the new standard. Everything's going to get buffed up to that level.
It was so funny. I think Tracer was the only hero in Overwatch's history where a player could build a career literally just playing Tracer.
Yeah.
And then could be dog shit.
D.Va.
Well, D.Va and Tracer, I think.
Yeah, well, yeah, probably D.Va, yeah. We've had some players that just know D.Va.
D.Va's had like 90% player rate. Yeah. Definitely D.Va.
The Tracer thing, though, is very easily fixable. I mean, from a conceptual point of view, maybe not from a coding point of view, but the reason it's so busted is because she stacks the blinks. So like, if you blink once, it tells the game, oh, you should be allowed to move up like 5 meters or whatever the number is. Mm-hmm. And then if you blink three times, you're now allowed to move up 15 meters. So you literally wall climb. If they just make it so that you can only ever maximum distance you're allowed to.
Whoever the devs are, don't watch this part of the podcast. Leave it the way it is. Let her climb.
It's ridiculous. There's no way that a Tracer should be able to get to the highest.
That's ridiculous.
I quite like it, honestly.
I just watched a game where we had a character that could fly and duplicate other characters and just bomb people and just nuke them with lasers. And you're telling me Tracer can't go a little bit higher? And then
it's a little bit higher. She literally is looking at a cliff and she goes up it.
It's not that bad. It's all your opinion. Yeah,
Did you see Anubis when she's on the low ground and she literally blinks up to a thing that's twice her head height?
She has to use all of her blinks. All of her mobility goes off cooldown. Be the
voice of reason here for him, Brenton.
I'm not even joking.
Come on, Josh.
You don't think that's a big deal?
Let me play the little violins for the Tracer mains. Oh, no, their hero's so powerful. No. Oh, no, and they have to use all three of their blinks in order to get to the high ground. Yeah. Those blinks, though, they have a huge cooldown, don't they?
Bro, but I mean,
Josh should be banished to the 1 a.m. games because of this take.
I'm not gonna lie. I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think it makes a hero that hasn't really seen a lot of playtime. The only time it's being seen playtime is in hero pools, and
it's gonna be ridiculous. The way you can set up yourself before
it's a fun hero.
Yeah. And what have you got against it? I'm not. Yeah, I mean, I'm not that bothered about it. At the end of the day,
do you not like fun?
Josh hates Tracer and fun. Josh hates the Overwatch mascot.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, that's why I banned Soldier 76 so many times as well.
Jesus Christ.
Down with the mascots of the Overwatch League.
No, no, it's ridiculous, but I'm all for it. Hashtag let Tracer fuck. I think it's going to be incredible. I'm all for it.
Dude, Johnny just sounds so weird. Like when he said that, he was like a little kid who's like, oh, I'm going to say a bad word. Let's see what happens.
Oh, I've done that before. I know what
oh, bro, fucking we're trying maverick,
to,
dude.
We're trying to get this sponsor. Stop swearing so much.
Yeah,
man.
We're trying to cut down on me.
Yeah, man, yeah, stop swearing hell, so much, man? Bro. You're the worst for it.
Stop fucking cursing, man.
Yeah. Stop. All right. Well,
all right. I will cut that out.
Move the show
along. I'm moving it along. Don't worry. We got some matches being played for the first time in eons, is what it feels like next week.
No, we just had two games this weekend.
16 matches. Those didn't count. Shut up. We have 16 matches this weekend, I think, is what it is, right? 8 matches per day. Absolute pandemonium. Like, look at the amount of content. The people, they were starving, they were hankering for it, and now they're gonna get it forced down their throats like a bunch of ugly spam sausages in wartime. it's going straight down their necks, whether they like it or not.
Don't know if that's the way I would have described it, but all right.
Spam sausages.
Yeah. So I think you sent in your predictions. I actually don't know how this is gonna work, but I think I can read them
we
off.
Can't see them, so well, it's all you.
Yeah, oh, okay, here we are. So we've got New York versus Atlanta. We've got, who is that? Johnny and Mr. X. You two have gone for New York, whereas me and Josh have gone for Atlanta. Now, when I predicted this game, I didn't have any reasoning for it in my mind. It was pretty close, but I don't even know what hero pools are being played, even know who's on those teams anymore because it's been so long. So,
well, who could have reason for the games to predict?
Right, but Josh, why did you go with Atlanta here?
Well, I think presumably the hero pools are going to be the same, right? So it's going to be this and the
Ryan Diva match. With Brig.
Presumably, I mean, Ryan Diva with like some kind of Brig. And anyway, Atlanta have been mostly playing bunkery styles, and with Lucio removed, I feel like that bunkery style is going to be a lot better because you can't maneuver around the map, can't outpace people. They've got an incredible talent on their roster. We saw Erster unlocked as well. This team, I feel, is in a good position in this particular meta.
I like how New York's had a lot of time to practice. If the hero pools are going to be the same, well, we haven't seen them play in like 3 weeks now.
Yeah, but isn't that the same for every team in the league?
What are you talking about?
No. New York's better when they practice. New York's better when they practice.
New York. Oh, yeah, I forgot because New York have been on the East Coast, so they're further ahead in time, so they've had more time to practice.
They're in the future. They're in the future compared to Atlanta, who's also on the East Coast, Josh. I don't know if you know where Atlanta is. Also on the East Coast.
Atlanta's like less far east than New York, though. Right? Mm. I think.
That's...
No, Beth's shaking her head at me. No,
Atlanta is less far... Sorry, what did you say? Atlanta's less east on the East Coast than New York.
Like west of Florida or something?
Atlanta, Georgia is like... Yeah, it's in sort of like the Middle East of the country.
Oh. Dude, I don't know.
Atlanta,
okay, west
Atlanta
of Florida
is definitely further west of New York.
Yeah, it is. Atlanta is definitely further west. Bro,
that's exactly what I said.
Why are you even listening to the Americans?
I don't know. But because Matt is from New York, so I assumed he would know. But like,
American geography is just a myth.
Well, you have to learn from people from New York. We don't really care about everywhere else.
Matt, how many states
can I get
the
a
US
Papega
have?
Clap?
How many states?
How many states do the U.S. have?
Oh, I think like 50. I think it's like 50.
Isn't it like 52? Yeah.
No.
No, that's number of weeks.
No, it is 50. It is 50.
Yeah.
That's the amount of, what do you call it, stars on the flag as well, isn't it?
Fucking hell. You asked me how many states are in the United States? Like, come on, at least I know that.
What is the capital city of Russia?
Imagine if they got to 49 and we're like,
does Matt not know this?
What's the capital city
of
Russia?
Is it Moscow?
It is
Moscow.
You're asking two easy questions. You're making him look like a geography buff.
What about New Zealand? Like... Capital city of New Zealand.
Mate, I don't know that one. Who gives a shit about New Zealand?
Brent, do you know the answer?
No, I was just curious to see what Matt would say.
Is it Auckland?
No, it's Wellington.
Isn't it Christchurch?
It's Christchurch.
I don't know. Honestly, I think it's Christchurch. No,
it's a Wellington.
Beth is absolutely
dude.
Losing her mind.
It's a Wellington.
Wellington.
Okay, yeah,
that's a manufacturer of boots.
Maybe we should start a geography podcast.
Beef Wellington.
Auckland. Auckland was the second capital from 1841 to 1865.
You know, I think almost all of these are probably just named after the same Duke Wellington.
What do you mean?
They've changed capitals?
They've changed capitals three times.
That's crazy. I know. I was going to go with Auckland as well, because Auckland, I think, is the headquarters for Grinding Gear Games, the creators of Path of Exile. And I've just been playing Path of Exile for the past week.
He was looking for it the entire time. He's gone and duped us. Looking for the segue.
We went from New York, Atlanta to geography
Any of the viewers, if you're playing Path of Exile, hit me up. My name's Charlie Badger. I'm playing on the Delirium Standard League. And
is your name really Charlie Badger?
Yeah. We can run some.
Why? Because that's the name of my little brother's friend. He's named himself after a 14-year-old that lives in my town.
No, the reason I named it is because we kept you talking about the name Charlie Badger. It's like a name.
And
like
I liked
Charlie
it because
Badger.
It's a cool name. Yeah. And it's
right there,
my
name's Charlie Badger.
Friends.
Yeah, right there, my name's Charlie Badger. Or it could be, hello there, my name is Charles Badger. You know, like it's the difference.
This is pretty good.
The juxtapositions, right?
This is almost turned into foreheads.
All right, what is the next game that we predicted?
You're the host.
I'll also say this, because people might be confused. They're like, why aren't you going for all 16 games? Because a lot of them are probably going to be hot garbage. So we picked out the most. We've cherry-picked a lot of the ones that we think are going to be the hot ones. The second one that we think is going to be quite good is the San Francisco Shock versus the Gladiators. All of us went with the Shock, but I think that's fair.
I also think, though, that this game really could...
Could be close.
Make us reassess the San Francisco Shock. At the moment, we've only seen them play once. They played a 3-1 game, against the Dallas Fuel. So.
I think we're sleeping on Shock because we haven't seen them play enough.
Maybe.
Like, we've seen one game and people are like, I don't rate Shock that highly because we haven't seen them play for a while.
Is there anyone that doesn't rate them top two?
No, there's nobody
in
who
the
doesn't
world.
Have...
I mean,
I want to find. There
them.
Are like seeds of doubt. There are seeds of doubt.
When did
in the
that
mind
happen?
Everyone.
We were discussing keeping them at number one.
There were definitely seeds of doubt, from Josh in particular.
Like... Yeah, I do have little mustard seeds of doubt, but it's just a mustard seed, Jonathan. Mm-hmm. It's not big. It ain't flourishing yet.
So
but...
ignore it. Cast it to the wayside. I have some discussion.
It's a mustard seed. It's tiny.
Look, man, we all have intrusive thoughts at times, and then you just got to shove them away into the station.
Johnny, what would you say is the probability of this match? Like, if you were to give a percentage of either side?
Wait, Josh, that's my table.
75-25.
Oh, yeah, that's your table, Matt.
That's my table.
Yeah, you gave it to us ages ago, and then you said that we could keep it, so we kept it, and now it's Beth Sewin table.
Wait, don't you owe Matt money?
No, Matt owes me money.
Oh, I think I owe Josh money. No. I don't know.
All right, well, we've kind of skirted around the thing. We've given Johnny eons to think about what he wants to say.
I said 75-25.
75-25.
Really? 75-25?
I would agree with
that.
I'm
going to say 80-29.
No. I think it's an incredibly difficult game to put percentages on because we really haven't seen these teams in so long. Like, we've literally only seen both of these teams. We've only seen them once.
I mean, we saw Gladiators this weekend. I think Depe really popped off. He played really well. He got chat of the match or whatever.
That was great, dude.
Abbas Award is called.
Yeah. I think that my chat was saying that it really shows that the Overwatch League needs to do more show matches. And I kind of agree. I think as long as there's like a theme to it, and the theme was Echo, and then the theme of the second match was, the theme of Team Zero was the coaches playing.
Well, no, the teams wanted to play goats.
Oh, yeah.
I texted John. I was like, the teams want to play goats. Is that all right? And he's like, as long as they play Echo goats. I was like, all right.
Wait. Gladiators had a performance coach named Reinforcement. Who the fuck is this guy?
Really?
Dude, it's Charlie Badger, dude.
2019. What the hell? I didn't. What?
Are you sure it wasn't you?
Yeah, maybe it's like, sometimes when you wake up and you feel like you haven't slept at all, Maybe you're just pulling a Fight Club where you're actually just working a night job as a strategic analyst for Gladiators.
Just double dipping,
maybe,
dude.
Maybe that explains why they haven't had great performances the last 2 years.
Yeah, double dipping, dude.
Yeah. Matthew Edwards, I'll have a word with you.
All right. The next match, though, is going to be the Soul Dynasty versus the Gladiators. I had to double check that because I couldn't read. I am actually surprised by this because apparently we've all gone Soul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's quite interesting because this match is closer in my mind.
I don't think anyone said that the match isn't going to be close. I actually think the Gladiators are probably going to be better than what we think at the end of the season. But I think these first two games are rough.
Like, so like with the Shock, where there's like seeds of doubt, with Prophet, there's always like seeds of hope.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no, he's not washed up. You know, he's still like an MVP candidate. Yeah, finals MVP, like whatever. Yeah, Soul Dynasty, love him.
Well, now that Gesture can't go out, I mean, maybe he'll focus on the game.
What I find insane about this, though, as well, is if you go back to the beginning of the year, we haven't seen Soul play yet. But if you look at everybody's power rankings for Seoul, a lot of people were not high up on them whatsoever. And they had a lot of doubts about this team. So what's changed now? Like, for me, I've always actually been quite high up on Seoul, but I know...
I think people slept on them. I think
I'd agree.
I think with bringing in so many players from London and people being a little bit low on London, you kind of forgot the other players that they had in place who actually performed pretty well last year. Like Marvel, like Michelle Fitz, and then... You kind of like took a step back after the initial shock of them bringing in, you know, Bedosian, Prophet, and Gesture. And then when you looked at those pieces plus the pieces they already had, you were like, okay, like this can actually be a really talented team. At least that's kind of how I did it at first. And I was like, oh, they're just recreating London. Oh, well, all right, cool. And then, you know, you kind of took a little bit of a step back away from it and you were like, all right, well, now, they had some good performances last year with some of these players. They're adding, you know, better players in some roles. They have a chance to get even better, I think.
But when people say that, though, that like, oh, you know, they had a few players last year, I don't think people should sleep on that too much because I think a lot of people look at players like Michel and Fitz and whatever, and they don't really recognize star power when they...
Those guys were really good.
They were good, and they've had a year of experience under their belt. And so when people say like, oh, this is the new London, I'm also like, yeah... They brought in some London players, but they've also established like a core group of players even beforehand. And so while they are bringing in a lot of new blood, I'm actually quite optimistic about what they already had in place coming from last year.
I think they are a team that should be fantastic, but could still flop pretty hard. And I'm just slightly concerned about, honestly, just who's running the team and whether or not they... inherit the weird mentality of London where they just seem to wing it all the time or whether they are really quite I don't know, a bit more disciplined or at least a bit more sticking to their versatile core of Marvel and Michelle.
That's almost my fear, Josh. I feel like I would feel much better if I knew that the London players were coming in and just going to be additions rather than try and recreate London with other new players.
That's why I was most worried about Bedosian coming in, even though I think he's an upgrade over Creative, because Bedosian was the shot caller, at least as far as we were told, for the London Spitfire. I'm slightly concerned if they end up running him a lot, because I can see another situation where this is wasted talent, even though Prophet Fitz should be unbelievable. And then Marvel Michelle is a really solid tank. On paper, great, but that's the same as London.
I do like the Gladiators team, though. Like I mentioned again, I didn't pick them in either of their games this weekend. I do think they're going to be better than what people think, though.
It sounds like a lot of us are sleeping on them.
I mean, I just don't understand how you can put Prophet and Fitz up against... Mirror, Jaru, and Birdring, and think that that's an even battle in any sense.
No, I mean, you can't.
The DPS mashup isn't the whole game.
But you have to feel...
It's not the whole game at all, but I think that they're actually just outclassed across the board when it comes up to the Soul Dynasty, apart from their backline.
Like, the supports, I would say.
I would even say that they're tanks. I mean,
Marvel, I think, is
better. Which is very unproven.
No. I said off-tank.
Better than the show. Oh, yes. Yeah. No, I do agree that space is better.
Yeah, but Marvel is sick. People should not sleep
as a tank line itself.
All right. I want to run through the matches that we haven't covered, and I'm going to shout out someone's name, and you're going to give me the prediction and one reason why. In 10 seconds, are you ready?
I like it.
Josh, Guangzhou Charge versus Shanghai.
Oh, Shanghai Dragons. I think this team's going to actually be so legit. I'm backpedaling on all the Guangzhou stuff that I said previously. The Shanghai team just looks so fat as long as their main tanks don't flop.
All right, Matt, Chengdu versus Hangzhou.
I'm going to go with the Hangzhou Spark. I think they were one of the more consistent teams last year. I think this year they're going to be good as well.
Johnny, Toronto versus Boston.
You're the one running out of steam. You don't even know where the hell we're going.
He wants the Defiant because Boston uprising shouldn't even be a contender.
Oh my god, brutal. Bren, Paris Eternal versus the London Spitfire. Ooh, I gotta go to Paris Eternal. Exe back on McCree. That's looking pretty fat, to be honest. I like the look of that one. Josh, New York Excel. Oh, we've already done that one. Josh, Florida Mayhem versus the Washington Justice.
That's a tough one, actually. I'm gonna go, I think, with the Florida Mayhem. The reason being that I think the slower paced no Lucio being in the lineup suits their playstyle a little bit more. They were already playing a lot of Ana Brigitte. So I think it fits them slightly more than it does the Justice, but I still think it'll be a super close game.
Matt, Seoul Dynasty versus Dallas Fuel.
Yeah, Seoul starts off 1-0. I think they're going to be able to take this one pretty easy. I think that they have just way too strong of a lineup for Dallas.
Okay.
Was Seoul Dynasty versus the Dallas Fuel the first ever game of Overwatch League? Or was it just a really high point?
No, it wasn't. No, the first one was Valiant Shock.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, right.
I think it was Valiant Shock.
It might have been on the first day, but it might not have been the first ever match.
Because yeah, I
thought
it might
was the first one. Because I thought it was the first one because it was Lunatic High against...
No, it was definitely one of the early storylines that we latched onto, though. I think it was on the same day, but the first one, because they recently ran a trivia poll on the Owl Twitter, and I thought it was that as well, but apparently it was Valiant Shock. I'm pretty sure it was Valiant Shock.
Yeah.
No. Actually, hold on.
Yeah, the first one was the Valiant Gladiators. No, wait. Wait, it's showing stage
how
four.
Can it be this? How can it be this hard to find?
Doesn't even matter. Gladiators Shock.
I'm bringing it up.
Gladiator's Shock. Okay, it was one of the LA teams versus Shock.
Gladiator's Shock. Valiant. Seoul Valiant and Dallas Shanghai.
What are you looking at?
What the hell are you looking at, Johnny?
Yeah, you're looking at the wrong thing. No, it was Valiant Shock was game one.
Oh, there you go. Okay, I was right.
Gladiator's Dragons game two, and then the Fuel versus the Dynasty was the last game of the night.
Yes. All right, so it was the last game on the first day.
Detracted from my segment, you sons of guns. I'm trying not to swear because I want this thing to get sponsored. Can we pull up the matches again? Okay, what else was there? Where were we? All right, Johnny, the Chengdu Hunters versus Shanghai.
I'm going with Shanghai Dragons because they have better hitscan players.
Ooh, okay. Bren, Hangzhou Spark versus the Guangzhou Charge. I find that really difficult to predict. I'm going to go with the Guangzhou Charge because I think that they are better individually on their roles than Hangzhou are. But yeah, that could be quite even. What is this one? New York versus Boston. Josh, go.
Oh, mate, do I even have to answer?
No,
why even waste that question on Josh?
Matt, Toronto Defiant versus London.
I'm going to go with London. I think they're just a way stronger team than Toronto. I think Toronto can beat up on some of the teams like Boston and maybe Florida, but I don't think they're good enough to beat Glister and the boys, dude.
Yeah.
Okay. Florida, Atlanta, Johnny?
I'm going with Atlanta on this one. I think they're just better player by player. I think Edison is going to get a lot of playtime this week. I think he's going to pop off.
All right. Shock versus Valiant. That's a shock for me. I'm just going to skip over that. Don't think I need to give a reason either. Vancouver Titans versus Dallas Fuel, Josh.
I'm going to go with the Titans there, I think. I mean, Dallas, I actually am slightly more optimistic than I think probably a lot of people. Most people expect them just to be brutalized.
What? You've been arguing about them for like the past year, dude. You've been pooing on Crimso. You've been pooing on Closer.
Yeah.
Doha is like a Sombra and Doom one trick, pretty much, almost. And yet you've been complaining about Note being a D.Va one trick and Gamster.
I'm not sure if you're new to the show, Johnny. We have no backbones with our opinions on this show. We flip-flop every week.
So I do think that Dallas Fuel are bad, and I think they won't be great. But I think everyone expects them to almost go winless in this group that they're in. Because they're in a division that's really good. Like most people on like the Reddit and stuff were like, rest in peace, Dallas Fuel. They're actually going to go winless. Like they're going to get shit stomped, plowed, all of this stuff. I think they'll still be able to pick up wins. Just this one isn't the time for them when they play against
Add that to the clip channel for week 12.
I'm going to ask the community, okay, our fans, I'm going to ask you to compile some kind of document, weekly Reddit thread, whatever, and our takes when Josh says shit like this. you clip it out and you
call
post
him
it.
Out, dude.
Just
call
like
him out.
On Inside the NBA or whatever on TNT, they when they have hot takes, they write it on a post-it.
Is this
note.
A hot
you
take?
Think that's a hot take.
No,
you think it's a hot take that they will go, not go winless.
Just let me. I hate you. So they write it down on a post-it note.
Dude, let Johnny have his monologue,
they
dude.
They put it on the wall and like they keep all like takes, you know, and don't have to be the hottest fucking. Sorry, the hottest takes in the world. Just put them on the wall and you save them so you can go back and check. So when you say, I don't think Dallas will go winless, if they actually do, it's going to be hilarious. So I just think we should save more takes, and I'm asking the community for help in compiling these takes.
I think everybody be responsible and just hold on to your own takes, dude.
I just dish them out like I do for clout. Anyway, what do we expect from these Chinese teams then? Because we've got a brief overview when we're talking about the predictions. But the Chinese teams are in a bit of a weird predicament because they are trapped in a scrim bubble where they're only really playing against each other and they have such a small division compared to everyone else.
I expect good things from these teams, though. I think the level of play is going to be pretty good. I'm pretty big on the Dragons.
I look at this region and I think this could be the strongest region just internally with the amount of, I think I said this in a previous episode, the amount of teams they've got to practice against that are up to a high level. Like, you could definitely see a scenario where some of the teams in Overwatch League aren't as good as maybe some of the ones in Contenders Korea.
I do think like the Pacific Division with Valiant, Gladiator, Shock, Titans, Seoul
is the huge difference maker. If Seoul was in China, I would agree with you, Brent, but because they're not, I think it tips the balance.
And even Dallas, right? Like, I mean, Dallas could be the worst of those teams, and even the Valiant like could struggle, and I still think those teams are I don't think they're, you know, they're not world beaters, but I wouldn't say they're bad, right? Where I do think, though, the Chinese teams are going to be very good. Like I was saying before, I think the Dragons are going to be very strong this year. I think really the two question marks is like, does Hangzhou look as good as they did last year with like not being able to play GOATs? And then what the hell does Chengdu look like? And I think really it's kind of dependent on what those two teams look like. If they both look like as competitive, can take games off the Dragons, like that could be a four-team just kind of round robin where they just keep trading wins against each other. Nobody really kind of comes out on top.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be seriously just trying to push in every medium that I can that we just see almost every team at playoffs, because it would be a shame, I think, if we didn't see the majority of these Chinese teams play against other teams, at least at the end of the year.
If the Overwatch League doesn't do it, we'll as a podcast do it, dude. We'll do the Plat Chat playoffs, dude, and we'll invite
plane tickets are probably still cheap. If we book them now, plane tickets will be cheap.
We'll put them up in North Hollywood in our living room.
We'll put them up in this mansion that we've got here. It's empty right now.
Great idea.
We can have them sleep outside. The weather will be nice by that point.
The Plat Chat playoffs, dude. Honestly, we should do the Plat Chat finals and just ask the 20th team and the 19th team to come play in our living room.
That would be entertaining, actually.
The winner will get a trophy.
What would the winner even get? Participation medal?
We could do it for charity. It'd be fun. It would be fun.
It should be called the Wooden Spoon Championship, but apparently that's not a thing outside of the UK. In the UK, it's a classic thing to give the loser a wooden spoon. Like, someone who comes dead last place gets a wooden spoon as a trophy. But apparently that reference is just totally lost on Americans.
Yeah,
It would be proper funny, though, if we could get the bottom two teams to just come out and just have a...
I love watching Americans get lost in British sayings. I was watching Taskmaster, a couple of clips from it last night. And they've got the American comedian woman, who I think she grew up in Ireland, so she does understand some of the terms. Do you know what I'm talking about? The American comedian, the blonde woman.
Yes, I do. I don't know her name right now.
But the main host in it? He made a joke about her
Greg
not
Davis.
Passing her A levels, and she just didn't know how to respond, so she's just like, yeah. just looks so lost. All right. Well, one of the interesting factors with the fact that we're all moving over to online play is that we're seeing a lot of these teams are going to be playing from their own bedrooms. Are there any teams that you guys think are going to be the biggest winners from this? Or is every team just kind of in a shitty scenario where they're just trying to keep their heads above the water?
I think, I think the West Coast teams definitely, like in terms of ping and just like proximity, will definitely benefit. Because think about like the Shocker in LA, the Gladiators, the Valiant, and Seoul. So that's four of those teams like right next to each other. Like the internet will be really good for them going up against each other. I'm trying to think, like New York traditionally has like really strong internet and general.
Are you basing this based off their internet bandwidth availability?
Well, some places route directly, and some places like
my
New
God,
York.
You are a nerd,
but
man.
You don't know
what are you talking about?
It's a little bit. It's not like there's a pipe that goes directly from one city to the other. They go to servers that are based elsewhere. Like I don't know where the East Coast servers are based.
Well, that's why you're saying that you get direct routes.
Yeah, so,
I don't understand why you're basing your power rankings based on the routing anyway.
Some places have direct routing, dude, and some places don't.
That's almost as dumb as me basing my power rankings earlier this year based on how much travel teams would have to do. Heavily weighing it. Yeah, I mean, I look like a fucking idiot now, don't I? Because, I mean, yeah, it was like, I mean, so silly of me not to have predicted the coronavirus. What did you mean? I feel like an idiot. Like, at the time, I think it was quite reasonable to say that the teams that would travel the most would get less practice and as a result would be weaker. But
so
now,
what's wrong with saying the teams that have the best internet will do good online?
Because, oh my God, I don't know.
So much to dissect there that's just incorrect.
You're assuming that other people don't have good internet. What do you mean? Most of the time when people are talking in esports about a team that's an online team, they either mean they're young, they don't have much stage experience, they're nervous, they have a history of being onliners that don't perform well at LAN, they are better in the comfort of their own homes rather than being on the stage, something like that. And instead you're talking about routing.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, it's the COD in me, dude. COD in me,
dude. Because I mean, Call of Duty, all they know is these tournament systems where they go from stage to stage to stage.
Yeah,
I mean, I think the only time they've ever played online is playing for 150 game battle cups.
Yeah,
like that's the only time they play online in COD. Other than that, they're traveling out to Colorado.
We did an online league for COD. Black Ops 3, so like 3 years ago, 4 years ago?
6 games ago.
Right.
Nah, not that far ago.
Sure, interesting. Kurtz ran away, so we have to stay on this topic for a little bit longer.
I think there's a few things, right? Washington lose their advantage of hosting a bunch of homestands.
Yeah. Yes.
Seoul lose their advantage of actually being in Seoul, being in Korea. They're in a totally foreign, I mean, not foreign country because they've all lived in LA before, but they're in a more uncomfortable situation than they otherwise would have
been. Is it really more uncomfortable though? Because as far as I know, Gen G is like proper top lads. Like they might actually just sort it out, gesture. So he's looking good these days.
Yeah, yeah, possibly. I don't know, but I feel like Seoul would have been much more motivated to play in front of their home crowd.
Yes.
Would have enjoyed scrimming against the Korean teams, that kind of stuff.
The allure of going to that team was to be able to stay in Korea.
Yeah, do you not think the players would be pretty pissed that they signed with Seoul in order to stay in their home country and they end up in LA?
I mean, you know, you hate to go there, but also as a country, South Korea is just looking pretty thick when it comes to handling the coronavirus. So, you know, credit to South Korea.
Yeah, that must suck if you're a player. And you're looking at America right now and literally, I don't want to bring politics into it, but, you know, the lead guy in charge right now, Mr. Trump, is saying how they might loosen up things for the economy. And then you look over at South Korea and they are handling it pretty well, aren't they?
So, yeah, they are.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Josh. All of those things, they come into play. I think as well it's worth reiterating about the kind of pockets of scrim play that you're going to see teams have as well. I think the strength, it's going to be interesting to see over the course of this season now how the strength of each region changes from place to place.
Yeah, you could see like different metas develop each week in different parts.
I think it's pretty likely
of the league because of what heroes are gone and who's good in that region at said heroes that are available and whatnot. So I think like the the variation from game to game is going to be crazy. Like, if you stayed up to like 1 a.m. and watched some of those late games and then tuned in for like, you know, the 5 o'clock in the afternoon, like Justice
it
game,
it might look like a different game.
It may look like a completely different game.
It's a bit like Hero Pools, I guess.
Well,
Hero Pools was fluctuating from game to game. Don't even tell me otherwise. We were seeing some teams had completely different graphs on what to play than others.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it won't make that much of a difference. But I mean, it depends if we make any changes to Hero Pools as well, though.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Outside of those teams that I mentioned, I mean, Dallas have a... I saw somebody advocating for Dallas, thinking that they would do pretty well playing online, because I think it might have even been... It might have been Avast, but maybe... I can't exactly remember.
I mean, that makes sense.
But,
he's in the pocket of Hashtag now.
He's actually there. Yeah, exactly. But but they do have a really sick setup there, right? Yeah. Like all of
but
the
there's no way
there
to go there now.
Well, right?
No, I think they're playing from their apartment.
They're definitely not. I spoke to Tasmo. They're playing from their individual PCs.
Yeah.
At home.
Right. Okay.
But well, Dallas treat their play as well. The players are set up in very nice swanky places. You know, they get the they hang out with the hottest dudes. Not right now, obviously. It's quarantine. Wow. They're socially distancing. Yeah. But
I'm gonna go in a different direction. I think that teams from Los Angeles and teams maybe even Houston will perform a bit better because they have better food cultures and therefore Postmates is a bit better. So.
Okay, interesting.
So, you know, but if you're
New York
quarantined,
has great
you
food
your house,
culture.
Yeah, we'll go with New York too.
Interesting way to rank teams.
Yeah, huh.
So I get roasted because do them by internet. Now we're having one person rate them by Postmates availability. Like,
look, mate. I'm out here quarantined, supporting local businesses, getting some good deliveries, and I mean, I've been having a blast because
I supported a local business today as well.
I cooked today.
No, you didn't.
I cooked.
Poor Chelsea.
What did you cook? Cereal.
Yep. It was actually good.
I was actually playing games with Chelsea, and she was commanding Matt to cook. But she specifically added this caveat. She doesn't let Matt cook raw chicken.
Yeah. Because I get scared I'm not going to cook it all the way through, and then I end up just burning the life out of this bird.
With some dry ass chicken. Wow.
I mean the chicken is basically like it basically looks like just bricks of coal, and I'm like, I might not be done. I cooked something legit.
It's time for something a little bit different. I know you want to finish your point, Matt. Continue.
I
want to
tell people what I cooked.
What did he cook?
Yeah, so I made the chicken. It wasn't too burnt. It was burnt, but
made chicken.
Normal. Yeah.
Well, did cook the chicken.
I did cook the chicken. I disobeyed the orders.
I like that you're branching out of your comfort zones.
Yeah. And then it had this like a creamy like mushroom with scallops and some butter and sour cream. I mixed it all together, cut some carrots up, cut
some
potatoes.
I'm surprised you know what scallops are.
How'd you cook carrots?
So what I did was I put oil all over them and then salt and pepper, and I put them in a thing and I mushed them around and then I put them on a baking tray.
Oh, right. Oh. Yeah. Oh, roasted. Yeah. Nice. Roasted.
Yeah. And the chicken I put in a pan and I turned the thing on and I went...
Use butter instead of oil. It's more unhealthy, but oh my God, does it taste good?
Yeah, I'm trying to be healthy.
If you want to go crazy, put goose fat in there.
Goose fat and a tablespoon of sugar.
So good. Oh, dude, we're gonna see Josh in like 4 months, dude. He's gonna look like a tank.
I'm gonna balloon.
I'll be honest with you guys, though. I've been pushing back this next segment because it's my player of the week. Let's roll the tape, I guess. I don't really know which one we're using this time around, but we'll find out, I guess.
We won't find out because we can't see it.
I mean,
but...
you can't see it, but shut up, everybody. It's playing.
My player of the week.
That was so funny.
It's my player of the week. This week, I actually have no bloody idea who to pick. I'm so torn between picking Grinding Gear Games for coming up with the concept of Path of Exile, because that's all I've been playing.
No, that's not a player. It's not Overwatch.
Or alternatively, Custer, who's stood over here, for getting me back into Path of Exile.
Oh,
so
I mean,
yeah.
At least
Custer, you
want to
jump in and say something real quick?
No,
what do you say?
I place myself above Josh here, and this is not my fault. I was like, hey, come play for a reasonable amount of time. And then you spent 14 hours, four consecutive days in a row playing Path of Exile.
It's not true. Don't listen to him. I probably say that Custer or Grinding Gear Games is my player of the week. I mean, what players would you say are worthy of this award?
Dude, you could have gave it to D-Pay. Bird Ring, dude, playing on Bird. You could have given it to D-Pay.
D-Pay, dude. Should have given it to D-Pay.
I mean, I could have, but I feel like it's a little bit too... it was disingenuous. Because you think I was paying attention to that game whatsoever? Matt was doing play-by-play through half of it.
You could have given it to the Overwatch League for making the games happen.
I mean, I actually considered that. I considered the Overwatch League, but I figured that's also a little bit disingenuous because of how much Path of Exile I've been playing. So I'll have to give it to Grinding Gear Games.
Okay, wonderful. Yeah,
shout out to GGG. I sent an email to Chris Wilson, the creator of Path of Exile, in 2014, March the 20th.
Really?
Yeah, when I was 17, because I thought I was going to be living in New Zealand the next year, asking him if he was going to do any apprenticeships. That's how keen I was.
Did he respond?
He did, yeah. Yeah. Sent me a lovely message.
No,
he said...
No, fuck off.
He said, we don't have any opportunities available at the moment for people without game dev experience, but thanks for reaching out.
So and, he basically did say no, fuck off.
Yeah, but he was very nice about it, and he responded. Yeah. Not many developers would do that, you know?
Jeff would have
given you a handwritten snail mail from New Zealand, would have first class stamped it, posted it.
Wow, huh? That's
guy's
incredible.
The best dev in the world.
Well,
Jeff is the homie.
Have you pulled up my Liquipedia page?
Well,
why? Kurt's just pulled up my Liquipedia page. Oh, you're highlighting my birthday. Yeah, tomorrow. Well, the day that this is published, it's my birthday. I didn't want to do me
happy
for...
Happy birthday, Brent.
I didn't want to
happy
do...
Happy birthday, Brent.
I didn't want
right,
to do
look,
me for my...
For Brent's birthday, let's all go around and say one nice thing about Brent.
Oh, no.
Okay. You start.
Well, no. Let Johnny start.
Brent?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I want to say you're a great friend.
Oh.
You mean a lot to me.
Oh.
We've had some great times together. We've been living with XQC together.
All right, yep. Say stuff that you mean. Say stuff that you mean.
You are way better at drinking soju than I am. And I appreciate you for that. So I say thank you for being you.
Wow.
For having an incredible Widowmaker suit that you put on sometimes. You make a lot of people happy, including
me. This is what Custom Soby must feel like. Me and Josh right now just sitting here listening to Johnny speak.
I wish you would stop talking about Path of Exile sometimes, but I hope you carry me in WoW when the next expansion comes out. Thank you.
All right, well, I mean, now you listed every good thing ever about Brent.
Beth just messaged me saying happy birthday, and the you know the artificial intelligence, like the machine learning responses. One of them, the first one is thanks. The second one is thanks. You too. And the third one is same to you.
Same to you.
So I'm going to respond to that one.
Same to you.
Same to you.
Same to you.
All right. I'll say some nice things about Bren.
No sure. one asked, Matt.
I think Bren...
The odds on this not being sarcasm are probably about 1 to 100.
No, I think Bren's a really good friend. You guys see Bren as just some degenerate who just is pissed drunk all the time or he's just blabbering about nothing. But Bren's actually a really nice guy deep down. And I think more people need to know that.
Thanks, Matt.
People probably won't believe me. They'll probably still think this is sarcasm. But
people think I'm a dickhead.
Well, there's more to you than you being a dickhead in front of the camera. Like, you're not really that much of a dickhead. Like, you're a little bit of a dickhead.
Only Matt could take a segment where we talk about nice things about Brent and say, well, you know, everyone thinks he's a prick, but I don't.
And Josh, you don't have to say anything nice.
No, Josh.
The only time you compliment people is when you're blackout drunk. So I don't know.
We all
you want to get some shots going?
True. Yeah, let me get some shots in me and then.
No,
no, I, I've been away from the house for 4 days and I already missed. So I need to start casting with you again. So
oh, there you go.
Have a lovely birthday tomorrow.
No, thank you.
I can't believe. Actually, when I think about it, some of my best memories with Josh is when he's just blackout complimenting me.
yeah. It's true.
It's the time to shine.
It's a good trait to have when you're blackout.
Like Josh, like it's so interesting. Like when people drink and they get drunk, like they become sloppy. Like when Josh gets drunk, he becomes like a toddler and he just gets really smiley and he just walks around. He likes touching people and then he just says super nice things.
I tried to bite Brent's fingers off while I was drunk. Like I don't know.
On stream.
A week ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You did.
Yeah.
Luckily,
no words. No,
you never want to be smiley or very aggressive.
Yeah.
You never want to be one Custer.
I didn't. I'm down to do that at any point, though, because he's absolute shite in CSGO. So tell him.
All right, well, Matt, you want to talk about Path of Exile?